We shall talk about that shortly in just a moment, the Mornings Institute. And the topic that we have for today is how do we continue to remove the stigma around mental health problems? And this is where we ask you to do a little bit of blue sky thinking and join us in the Mornings Institute.
Every match.
The goal is gone!
Every round.
Fires it in, it's two, go, what's it in?
ABC Grandstand brings you the A-League from all around Australia.
There's a shot of goal, it's a score!
On mobile, online and on your radio.
Oh, no!
ABC Grandstand's coverage of the A-League is on. Is on.
Grandstand A-League.
Hear every match live on the ABC Radio app. Download now.
The 702 Mornings Institute.
Yes. Well, everyone else had their own think tank, didn't they? So we thought we would have one as well. It's our Mornings Institute. And October is Mental Health Month. And when it comes to mental health, there's one issue that refuses to go away, and that is the stigma surrounding it. I guess. Medical treatment for people who suffer from mental health issues is never being better. But the biggest challenge is actually people bringing themselves to seek treatment because of that stigma. Joining me now is Dr. Neil Jayasingham. He's a private and public psychiatrist and a clinical lecturer at Western Sydney University. How do you do there, Neil? Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Wendy. Thank you for having me.
Now, you wrote a very interesting article that we saw in the Sydney Morning Herald recently, which was you wrote about World Suicide Prevention Day on September 10, and you said 2 days before that we had Are You OK Day, and now here we are in Mental Health Month. We're throwing a lot at it. Is it working, Neil?
Yes, it seems. It certainly seems to be. We've had a lot more talk about mental health than we ever have. And together with World Suicide Prevention Day, we had Borderline Personality Disorder Awareness last week. We've got Anxiety Awareness Week in a couple of weeks' time. Perinatal Depression in September, in the beginning of next month. And it's far more discussion about mental health than I have ever experienced from training as a registrar through to now. People certainly seem to be much more aware of mental health treatments and mental health issues.
Awareness, awareness, awareness. Mm. But does that convert into real change?
Yes, it does. It certainly seems to be. We've had many more patients now turning up to and calling call centres and seeking mental health services. And we've been able to find that there has actually been a decline in suicide rates consistently over the last 30 years. And together with, and suicide is a fairly broad marker for these things, but I can certainly say that it's been a wonderful time to be a psychiatrist because I haven't had so many good stories since recently.
Well, I wonder if you would like to join in this conversation, perhaps with a perspective from years ago about how things change.
Call Wendy now on 1-300-222-702.
Well, I'm remembering, Neil, from when I was a kid, and we had an uncle who had he'd come back from a war zone. And it was always, oh, Uncle Frank, he's got a bit of a case of the tartars.
Yes.
Obviously, he had post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm. But he was always sort of regarded as being, sort of slightly mad and dangerous. But so we have come a long way from that kind of ignorance.
Well, the thing is that every family has a story like that because mental illness is not a new phenomenon. Mm. It's been around for years.
Of course.
One of the questions that we train our junior doctors to ask is there any history of breakdowns or of people suffering from nerves back in your family?
Well, that's right. It was always called nerves in the old days as well.
Well, it could be anxiety, and also the word breakdown actually covers pretty much everything. It can be anything from frank psychosis to a brief depression. But all of these are really very high likelihood of being treatable conditions. It's just that, sadly, they weren't treatable in the generation before the current one.
Yeah, so I'd love to know this morning how you think attitudes have changed, and also whether you, well, I mean, how you think that the stigma can be further removed, and whether you have, if you're a person who has mental health issues, whether you've found things changing for you. Because the thing that you point out in your article here is that treatment is so much better, and that goes hand in hand with the removal of that stigma, I guess, or it should at least.
The old approach to mental health was about locking people away in large institutions and large asylums with Bedlam, with Roselle, with several of these large bins where unfortunately there was little else that could be done for them. And all over the world now, one of the favorite topic of urban exploration is investigating these ancient, dusty, and importantly unoccupied institutions, mostly because we no longer find that the vast majority of mental illness now no longer needs to be locked away. It's about treating it and getting them back into normal life.
Yeah, you say that, I just can't find it here, just quickly, but that some of the mental conditions now, because we know it as being a physical thing, can be cured with a few tablets sometimes, and sometimes episodes only a couple of days long, and people are fit to be back at work.
Well, I've had several patients like this, but one of my favorites was a gentleman who was being attacked by laser beams fired by avenging angels, and he was from a fairly senior professional situation. Terrible situation, had to be brought into hospital, 2 months of rehabilitation, and 3 months later returned to his regular work with absolutely no impairment, apart from the fact that he has to take 2 extra tablets each morning, making much more money than I ever will, but that's okay, I guess.
And in the past, said that he would have been written off. He would never be going back to work. Let's talk to Sarah, and I really want you to join in on this one, folks. Sarah. Hi. Hello. Sarah.
Good morning.
Tell us about your dad.
Well, I was 24, and we were living in a city where we were sort of quite well known because I'd been born there. My dad took his own life after real black dog depression and not very good assistance, but having dealt with that in itself, we then, 2 days after his death, had 2 young constables come to the door, and they looked very uncomfortable. And when they came in, it appeared that they'd been sent to see whether my father had committed a crime. He was dead 2 days before. Whether he'd committed a crime, because suicide was a crime on the statute books, and also aiding and abetting a suicide, which is what they wanted to talk to my mother about. Well, I kindly just asked them to leave. But when my brother had rung the presbytery, because my mother was a practicing Catholic, to ask if a priest could come to the house, the priest, who wasn't very nice, said no, because my father, a Presbyterian, had committed a mortal sin.
Yeah,
and we were left dealing with it from that base, you know, and I just thought it's come a long way, but it's still a tragedy. And my understanding of what my father did was that he was in pain and he thought life would be better without him, which is something you almost can't overcome when people set their minds. But to treat it as a crime and a sin was really quite hard to take, but
well,
I think we were a robust.
That is a perfect demonstration of how far we've come, and thanks for that, Sarah. Yes, we forget that kind of crime was on the statute books, don't we?
Well, around the world, there are still many countries suicide, with the idea that if you survive, you need to be locked away so that you can be taught to realise how wonderful life is.
Yep. Brett has given us a call as well. Hello, Brett.
Hello there.
How are you going today? You reckon there's a lack of support still?
Yeah, I have an ex-wife who suffers from mental health issues, and we have a 6-year-old son together. And there is, so, like, I feel I'm continually a victim of someone's mental health issues, high anxiety, OCD, and there is absolutely no agency that can support me. And we're at family court at the moment, and that's a very expensive procedure to go through, and I'm not even sure if they're going to be able to help me.
You feel like you're all by yourself, Brett?
Well, the police can't help me. The relationship centres can't help me. It's all because of someone's controlling desires.
Yeah, yeah. So I should just ask, thanks for that, Brett. Dr. Neil Jayasingham, is there hope for Brett? Is there somewhere he can go, Neil?
Well, the very first thing I would say is that we have now, we're fortunate to have a single mental health access line for all New South Wales services, which is 1-800-011-511. And before, many of the services were quite disjointed and different areas had different areas of specialty. But now there's a single number that connects you to all the available public services. The next port of call in terms of most mental health issues is to see where your general practitioner can go with in terms of accessing psychologists and psychiatrists. I'm not going to pretend that service access is perfect, and I'm not going to pretend that everyone who needs the help is going to be able to get it. But starting from those two areas is a great way to start in terms of getting the help that you need.
Can you give us a... Did you get that number there, Brett?
Yeah, look, I've tried ringing all the mental health line numbers and if someone who sees a psychologist isn't... or maybe isn't getting diagnosed correctly or on the medication to control their anxieties, what more... There's nothing more I can do from
mine. Yeah, I think that, yes, and what you say, we'll give you that number again anyway, Brett, and hope that you get some success with it. Could you give it to us again, please, Neil?
Certainly. It's 1-800-011-511.
I guess that we can only hope that Brett can try that again and get some help there. Martin is with us. Hello, Martin. Are you there, Martin? How are you going?
Yeah. Good, yeah, how are you going?
What can we do for you today? Yep, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying to your producer, the stigma of mental health, I never really thought about it much. I'm 53. Just under 4 weeks ago, my wife had a psychotic episode at home, which was the most distressing thing I've ever seen in my life. She was restrained and taken off to a mental health unit. 3 weeks on, we're getting died. I'm husband and carer, but... You just never prepared for these things. And to everyone who's listening, I would say just don't take any unusual behaviour for granted because you don't know what's happening. And fortunately, it's now been recognised and we've got some wonderful people there who are looking after us. And, we've got a caseworker. It's changed the ballgame, put it that way.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for that, Tim. I must say that's an interesting question that you raised there, whether any amount of awareness can really prepare you for when it hits so close to home.
Well, that's it. I was powerless. I didn't know what to do. My stepson stepped in, fortunately. He was fabulous. And he organised various services to come and assist us. And when it was all said and done, it was about 9:30 and... I was sitting at home staring at the space. People have asked me what happened. I couldn't describe it. And it still affects me.
Yeah, I can imagine it would. Well, thanks for calling, Tim. I hope you fare well with all that. Thank you. And so, Neil, we're talking something that's brought up there. Tim says that it was his son-in-law who stepped in. We are really seeing a generational change here, do you think? I know from my own part, my son is really acutely aware of, mental health issues with his friends. I mean, he's 18 in a way that I would never have been, I'm sure.
There is absolutely a generational change. When I decided to become a psychiatrist, my father thought it was one of the strangest things that I could decide to do because it's the lowest rung of the medical fraternity and the group of people who don't actually make any difference. And he has sort of changed his mind in the last few years. But it's really it's amazing to me about how people have changed in their attitudes to mental health. I remember reading an article recently which talked about a biography of a prominent mental health clinician, talking about how she was involved in mental health before it was sexy. And I thought it was the strangest thing in the world to describe what I do as being sexy, but it kind of is now. Yeah. Everyone talks about it, and it's really in the public forums.
Yeah, that's right. We're really interested in brains, aren't we? Mm. You know, the brain plasticity, and we're interested in genetics and all that. I think there is a great travelling inwards at the moment, which is an interesting one in this society at least. Nellie, would like a word. Hello, Nellie.
Hi, good morning. I'm so glad you've got this topic on today. I believe that we fear what we don't know. That's pretty much a standard thing. We need to know the symptoms, the signs of mental illness. Like, what does PTSD look like? We talk about that, the initial, you know, the PTSD, but we don't know the symptoms. We don't know what that looks like. What's schizophrenia? I mean, that's the one that terrifies me the most.
Yeah, I have to agree with you in some ways, Nellie. Sometimes when we have Mental Health Awareness Week and there's a lot of programs and you hear about bipolar and there's schizophrenia and, you know, all the... And you think, oh, which one's which? How do we know? But I guess that you can't know that, can you, Nigel? Neil, rather. I mean, it's you, obviously, you know, those of us who are kind of mentally so-called well... We are in a position to go around diagnosing people, and we shouldn't have to be.
Well, I can't keep track of all 541 mental health issues myself. But the very first issue to start with is what your previous caller mentioned, which is the issue of a change. Identifying a consistent change in a person's behaviour shouldn't be just taken for granted. There are a number of possibilities that could be due to. It may be something benign, but it also may be due to a mental illness that, if caught early, could be reversible. Which is why it's so important to go to your GP or to look at the mental health access line and resources like Beyond Blue in order to educate yourself about what's going on.
Mm. This is a note from Daniel in Eleanora Heights. Zization. That's a hard word to say. Of the mentally ill is still a constant in our society. I have Asperger's and acute social anxiety disorder, and I'm still seen as weird when sitting solo in cafes or called Nigel No Friends when out on my own at the footy or elsewhere. And he says, I truly pity those with bigger issues than mine. But Daniel, you're right about that. It's still tough.
It absolutely still is. The treatments are better. There are many conditions that used to be considered incurable. The treatments are better, but there is still a lot of progress still to be made in terms of controlling stigma.
Yeah. Let's talk to John. Where's John?
Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning to you, John.
Look, I'm just calling up. I just wanted to say it's very good hearing this on the radio. There are a few things myself at the moment. I'm getting help from a really good psychologist, which is great. But that all started because... I had a conversation with my GP.
Yeah.
And I really, really encourage people to do that.
Yeah. Yes. Good on you, John. Yeah. Absolutely. We're looking at, I'm sorry to hear John's, he's still sad. We had the Gus Warland's program on A Man Up at the moment. Did you see that?
I'm afraid not.
Neil, well, it really is encouraging, just exactly what John says there, encouraging men especially to share their feelings and open up and get some help. So I'm glad that John's started down that path. Now, I'm going to let you go, Neil, but just to reiterate, I have a note here from Steve. He says, it's at absolutely epidemic proportions, says Steve. A mate of mine killed himself 18 months ago. Another hung himself. It's out of control. But you say that actually the rate of suicide is coming down. I know you say it's a blunt instrument kind of thing to measure our mental health or otherwise, but it is coming down.
It is coming down.
And what about in Indigenous communities? That seems to be at really epidemic proportions.
We hear a lot about the rates of suicide, and there is still quite a number of suicides out there. But what I want to emphasize is what was found in a 2003 studies, which was that 90% of all completed suicides were found to be associated with mental illness. So although we may not be able to remove all suicides altogether, if we make a significant dent in mental illness, that number is going to come down by quite a proportion.
Hi, Wendy, how are you?
Good, thank you. You have bipolar, I'm told.
Yeah, that's right. I'm calling because I do have bipolar disorder, but I've been I'm just here to say thank you, really. I've been the recipient of this positive change and the less and less stigma that occurs in mental health now.
Mm-hmm.
And just within the last 5 years, this has all happened. I'm in my early 20s, and now it's as simple as I take my lithium tablets each day, and that means I will be completely healthy mentally, as simple as that, and that's because of things like the generational change and the way people do understand more about what mental health is. My family and friends weren't scared of me. They were supportive of me. I hadn't had a history of self-medication or substance abuse and all those kind of and an early diagnosis, and all those factors meant that it's been such an easier ride than it would have been otherwise. So yeah. There you go.
Good on you. Good to hear. That's exactly what you're talking about in this article that you wrote in the Sydney Morning Herald on a few days ago. Exactly what you're saying.
That's right. Thank you.
That things are improving.
They certainly are. There's still more to go, but it's incredible the change that has happened in the last 5 years, and we can only hope to see what happens in the future.
All right. Good on you. Thanks so much for joining us today. Dr. Neil Jayasingham, he's a private and public psychiatrist and a clinical lecturer at Western Sydney University. In just a moment, we're going to jump online.